Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing.
This episode is brought to you by O2.
Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Esme, can you say Mr. Bucket?
No, Rob Beckett.
Esme, can you say Rob Beckett?
What a cousin!
Can you say Joshua...
Widdicombe.
Lucas!
Who's Lucas?
There we go.
That was cute, wasn't it?
This is my seven-year-old son, Fraser, getting in... an intro for you from his three-year-old daughter, Esme.
Was you eating as that clip was being played?
No, I wasn't.
I could sense
food. That's the sad thing,
food.
I'm looking at someone. Yeah, well, this is the thing, Rob. It's been a hell of a morning. But okay. It's just been fine. But, like, my daughter's off ill, so I dropped my son at nursery, came back. When I came back, my daughter was then totally fine.
Okay, what was wrong? Just felt a bit of a cold.
She was off her food and a bit ill this morning. We're like, if you're all right at lunchtime, we'll take you in. And so I just went down. She was fine. I've got to cancel the thing I'm doing after this to take her in now. And then I'm just going to sit there in the... Not in the car. Go to a cafe.
Well, it's because it's 12 o'clock now.
It's 12 o'clock. Take her in 1:30. Drop her off. No point in coming home to go back. I can't go there 3 times in a day. Just sit in a cafe. Wait it out. Then take her trick-or-treating with her mates after that. Because it's Halloween as
that's
we record
shit,
this.
Isn't it? That is a shit day.
Well, I hadn't even thought about that, really. I just thought that's my day.
That's
the reality of being a parent. That's a shit day, mate.
That's a shit day. You've had to cancel work, which is going to only build up later in the week or next week, because you've got to add to that,
I haven't eaten, so I'm currently looking at a piece of toast that I can't eat because we started a podcast and notoriously I eat during the podcast. I'm like, well, I can't eat this for the next 48
minutes.
You
cannot eat it. No, so you're just going to just stare
this
at
this is awful. I'm just going to put my... Just
throw it out the window. Wait, he's not. He's muted himself to choke down some toast, a pathetic little rat, like a little starving duck at
the
pond.
It's taken so long to eat.
Oh, of course it is. It'll be some awful sourdough seeded bastard from East London that cost you £5 as he's
guilty.
Choking it.
Absolutely, exactly what I'm looking at.
dry throat. Now he's going to suck down some oat milk tea because, Josh, I hate to break it to you, I don't think you enjoy life enough.
What? Could I have oat milk in my tea? It's nicer than normal milk.
Still chewing. He's still chewing.
I'm not.
You finished?
For now. I wish we were interviewing a guest third voice that could carry this while I chewed.
I wish we had a video of you gobbling that down like a little bird.
Do you want to see me? You want to see my toast?
I want to see your toast. Yeah, sure.
Look at the seeds
toast.
On that.
Look at that. That's a hard sourdough toast as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why don't you finish that? Because I want to ask Michael some questions. Because Michael texted us on the WhatsApp group and saying, shall I read out what Michael sent us? I am now in sole charge of a 7-year-old for the next 48 hours. You're a big fan of your niece, but I don't think you are a fan of the responsibility of a 7-year-old for 48 hours.
Yeah, obviously, usual caveat. I absolutely adore her. She's one of my favourite people in the world.
And you've been in charge for 48 hours. How did you find it?
Yeah, it was a lot of work. So a little bit of context. My sisters, so I'm the eldest of four. I've got two sisters who normally kind of pick up the slack in terms of any additional parenting required when it comes to, you know, everyone's nieces and nephews. And unfortunately, they're on holiday in Florida, like the whole rest of the family. It's just me and my brother that are still here in the UK. My brother was really unwell. He basically couldn't drive. And basically, the only way that we could get her back is if I took her on the train.
Yeah.
But what happened was I was making my way back to London at this point. So I'd left the Isle of Wight and I got this phone call saying, look, you need to take her. This is the only way she can get back.
You are literally the last resort of
I am the only
additional...
person.
This is like a Hollywood film about a man who learns responsibility. Both you and the child learn something about what life really means on this journey.
Also, isn't it true that in the Isle of Wight they call the mainland the other island?
That's the first I've heard. We call you mainlanders grockles.
Grockles? What's a grockle?
That grockles, Devon people use that to mean tourists.
Yes, yeah. Whereas we're corkheads.
You're corkheads?
You inbred bastards, the pair of you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rob, if the places we grew up are so beautiful that people visit them for their relaxing time.
No, people... The grockles, we're the grockles, you weird little hobbit bastards. Too much time on your hands because there's nothing to do, so you think of weird shit. Sorry, carry on, Michael.
So I'd already left the island at this point. I'd got the boat across and I was waiting for my train at Portsmouth to get back to London. So anyway, I get this phone call and I then have to wait for my niece to be brought to the ferry and then come over on the ferry for me to take her to London. By this point, it's quite late in the evening. It's sort of half seven at night.
Yeah.
So there's no way I can get her back to Colchester at that point. So she has to come with me to London.
Yeah, plane, train and automobile. You could do a kind of, that's exactly how the film would go. You'd end up like in a front of a lorry with like a guy that you've hitchhiked with. It'd be great.
Yeah, except I've got a seven-year-old who is giddy with excitement at the fact that she's A, now up this late past her bedtime,
yeah.
B, is going to be up for several hours more still by the time we get back. I had no idea how much content and entertainment you have to provide for a seven-year-old.
Didn't have an iPad.
I have... my phone, which is running a bit low on battery, but yeah. no headphones. So I don't want to be that guy on the train that's playing YouTube videos of Three Blind Mice over and over again. So what I do to counteract
that is... good seven-year-old reference, Three Blind Mice. Yes.
They love that, seven-year-olds. Over and over again.
So, well, this is a barometer of how well it went. So I immediately booked first-class train tickets because I think, well, at least we'll be probably the only people in that carriage. There's 15 minutes prior to this train. I think, right, we'll pop to the WH Smith over the road.
Yeah.
And I'll get some magazines. Just something to keep.
So excited about this.
That's 35.
So excited about what magazines you bought for a 7-year old, considering Three Blind Mice is you. Get her my first ABC book. Like...
So I bring her with me, obviously. I'm not a fool. Yeah. I'm not going to go in there and pick blind.
Also, you don't want to leave her on her own in a train station.
That's not the reason.
The reason
you're taking her is not because you're looking after her, but because you don't want to pick the wrong magazine.
So what I then experience is tantrum number one, let's call it, because she's obviously tired. She's a little bit overwhelmed by everything that's going on.
Of course.
Gets a sort of form of decision paralysis, because rather than me picking one for her or suggesting, I think I'm being a cool uncle and going, hey, you can have anything that you like. And then she just has a choice.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the wrong thing to do. I don't think you could just go take this magazine. I don't think you're in the wrong there, Michael. I think that you played the hand you were dealt, really.
Well, I'm going to say I played the hand badly, because the time for the train was rapidly disappearing to purchase it and get back. And I was in a scenario where she was currently holding five different magazines with lots of plastic tat and just didn't know which one to pick. And every time I sort of suggested or tried to force it, I could feel the verge of like a nuclear meltdown happening. And I'm not a parent. I don't know how to deal with this.
Well,
in the end, I bought three. And also to placate her, I ended up buying myself a Lego one because she didn't think it was fair if I came into the shop and bought a magazine that didn't. So there is currently a £9 unopened Lego toy magazine downstairs.
Rob,
yes, please. I'll take that.
So get on the train. That actually goes relatively smoothly, the train journey. There's no one else in first class, so she uses my phone for a little bit, watches some stuff on YouTube, go through the magazine. I'm having to answer a lot of questions as part of these magazines, little kind of like Q&As, a lot of animal facts, a lot of stuff that it really exposed the lack of knowledge that I have at a seven-year-old entry level in terms of, you know, the animal kingdom and, you know, multiple choice questions about various animals. I think there was a questionnaire of 10 ones. I got every single one wrong. Well, it was like, what does this type of lizard do to scare off its enemies? And it was like, shoot blood from its eyes, pretend it's dead. And I actively was like, well, it obviously doesn't shoot blood from his eyes. That's ridiculous. And then you go to the answers, shoots blood from his eyes. And by question seven, having got every single one wrong, she thought I was taking the piss. She thought I was deliberately getting all of these wrong. So I just turned it into a bit like, oh, yeah, silly Uncle Mike. He doesn't know anything.
Yeah, nice.
I genuinely knew nothing.
Of course, it sounds the answer like is trauma. Shoots blood from its eyes, because no children's writer is going to come up with that as a multiple choice option unless it's correct. Surely that's too bleak. Right.
Well, I went the other way and thought it's so bleak that they wouldn't have included it as a fact.
Yeah.
But no, in hindsight, you're right. Anyway, we get to London.
Sorry, Michael, can I stop? It sounds like this is trauma. You sound like PTSD.
I mean, I've had better 48 hours in my life. Yeah.
So
I've also, prior to this, spent the last 2 days with her. One of those days was a children's party. So in terms of my social battery with children, that had tapped out a long time ago.
Okay.
We get to London, get in a black
cab.
Can
I just ask something? Sorry.
Yep.
Like me and Rob, at what point did you think, well, at least it's podcast content?
I'd say at this point, I hadn't. Because
you're a good man. You're a good man. Like me and Rob, who would have noted it in our phone notes before you could say, pat lunch.
Which we will get onto.
Outside of that message to you guys, I was just in survival mode. Like, I'm not match fit. I don't have the muscle memory for any of this stuff. I normally ride in 3 hours on the cool uncle. I engage. I'm present. We have fun. They draw on me. I play, do some silly voices, and then I'm gone. I'm out again.
I've never heard you do a voice in my life.
Do a silly voice now.
Absolutely
not. Come on. Do one of your silly voices, fun Uncle Mike. Come on.
Absolutely not.
Come on. Let the dog see the rabbit.
So we get a black cab from Waterloo to East London, which is, you know, it's fun. It's an adventure. By this point, she's saying she's hungry again.
Right.
I don't know whether she is or not.
When did she last eat?
Well, probably about 6:30. I wasn't there because I was making my way back.
I think at this stage, you've just got to shove food down them if they want it, right?
Well, I didn't have anything in the car. So all I had on me was water. So I just thought, I'd drink some of this water. So she, without me even noticing, I'd say next 3/4 of a bottle of mineral water. And then I have to take it off her. I'm like, whoa, I think, I know enough about children to know that's probably too much water.
Yeah, they need a piss immediately.
Yeah.
Well, we'll come to that.
So are you in? Sorry, what car are you in?
So we're in a black cab
on the way to
East London. Yeah. So we get to my house. She's really excited to see us, see the place. She's not been here before. London's really exciting. I sort of show her around, show her where she's going to be staying. You very quickly realise when there is a small child in your house how ill-equipped it is. There wasn't a single room where there weren't at least
how many sexual
50...
images there are on the wall.
Like a mechanic's toilet. What's Front magazine? Well, a little publication. Maxim. What was that, Michael?
There isn't a room that's sort of suitable for a child to stay in. Like, no, let alone play in, but also to sort of go, well, you're going to sleep in here overnight. I have no idea what a seven-year-old gets up to at night, what things, drawers they go through.
So did you have a spare room? Or
well, we have the only sort of spare room we have, and I use spare room, is a sort of like, it's essentially a kind of walk-in wardrobe type thing.
And also, fucking hell, mate.
We haven't lived here for long, so nothing
is
unpacked.
You can't put her in a wardrobe.
Well, I did. It's a big room. It was formerly a bedroom that's been turned, but it's also sort of a dumping ground for boxes and bags and everything, as we're still kind of unpacking and we're still waiting for furniture to arrive. So we don't currently have a bed. We've just got a mattress on the floor. Like, it is a disaster zone for a small child to come into, let alone sleep in. So I managed to find a blow up bed that I had, an old camping bed, blow that up, cobble together some bedding, calm her down enough to go to sleep, because obviously she's sort of giddy on the energy of what's happened.
Yeah.
She falls asleep. And by this point, I'd say it's gone midnight. I'm also exhausted. I wind down about an hour later. Now, she's on the ground floor. We're on the floor above. At about 1 o'clock, just after 1 o'clock, I'd started to drift off. I'm sort of in that state where you're asleep, starting to kind of dream, but not quite.
Yeah.
So you can sense what's going on. I've forgotten that there's a child in the house by this point because right. I'm just going to sleep now. This is just my normal Sunday routine. And I hear like, like little pitter-patter of footsteps come up the steps. And I don't quite wake up, but I'm like slightly freaked out by it. The door pushes open and I can just, leaning over me, whispering, I can hear someone saying, "Come with me."
No. What?
"Come with me." And I haven't quite woken up, so I'm like starting to freak out, half asleep. And I'm like, "Whoa." And she's like, "Come with me." Eventually I wake up and I look up and she stood over me. I'm like, "Oh, what's happened? You okay? You okay?" And she's like, "Come with me." And I'm like, "What's wrong? You tell me." And she just won't tell me. She's like, "Come with me." So she leads me by her hand downstairs. And bless her, because she's been pumped full of more water than she probably drinks in a day, she's gone straight to sleep and she's just wet the bed.
Yeah, she's not knowing where the toilet is.
She doesn't know where the toilet is. She's in a strange place. She's also too much water in her. So we deal with that. We strip the bed.
Also, you know. She was killed in Victorian times. That was the other reason why.
Now, I've changed the bed linen. She's been sent to me in a rush. There is no change of like nightwear. There's no change of bedding.
Give her one of your retro football T-shirts, Michael. An old Sampdoria shirt from the 90s to wear in bed.
There is no way I'm letting a small child piss on that. So I'm now sort of cobbling together this mad, like, outfit and bedding. And what I found was, like, my biggest beach towel was, like, layer one, and then a slightly smaller beach towel. And as I sort of put her back to bed and closed the door and said goodnight, I just sort of looked at this really bleak sort of, like, World War II refugee child vibe vignette that's been created.
God.
Luckily, she then slept through the night, got her up the next morning. Well, I say got her up the next morning. She woke me up the next morning. And I said to her, because I know she's notoriously an early riser, I said, "Look, it's really late. Like, please, if you wake up in the morning, can you just wait a bit longer before you come and wake up and wake up?"
I've not tried that, actually. I should give that a go. How did it work out?
Well, I'd say about 10 past five in the morning, there's a little knock on the door.
Oh, no. Oh,
well, it is a strange place as well for her, isn't it?
Yeah. And she's so sweet. She's like, Uncle Mike, I'm awake. I'm like, it's still dark. The clocks haven't gone back at this point. So anyway, get up, take her out for breakfast the next morning. Again, not equipped for this. I live in East London. I have never had to consider what is acceptable or appropriate for a small child in terms of like breakfast options. No, I found a sort of local cafe around the corner, walked around. Obviously, it's really, really busy because it's East London. I'm sat at a table with a seven-year-old surrounded by kind of hipsters and young people drinking their coffee. Every single conversation she was owning into, completely inappropriate for a seven-year-old. So lots of questions about, "Uncle Mike, what does that mean? What are they talking about?" I'm like, "Oh, nothing.
What's a K-hole?"
And she's very kind of curious and very inquisitive, but kind of also quite sweet and innocent. So again, I'm just like, I don't know what the rules are here. I don't want to get in trouble from like her mum, her dad. How much do I explain? How much do I not? You know, I could just about busk it if it's Father Christmas or like heaven. I could maybe get away with that.
Go on, give me your Uncle Mike, what happens when we die?
Well, lots of people believe different things. Some idiots think that they go to heaven. Other people just like me.
Legends like me think you rot into the ground and never, just eternity of nothingness.
Yeah, and then, you know, shortly after, anyone that ever remembers you existed is gone forever. It's all pointless. Yeah, enjoy your scrambled egg.
Yeah, you can deal with that one, fair enough.
Eventually, obviously, hand her over. When I got back on that train, I would say it is the most exhausted I've been in my entire life. Probably not physically, but the mental exhaustion, the level of like responsibility and the inability to just to turn off.
Yeah.
I think I'd been on the fence for quite some time about whether I did or didn't want kids. And 100%, I'm never going to have children.
Wow. But welcome to the show.
Yeah, but you get used to it, though, the mental tiredness, and you get more confident.
Why would you want to get used to that?
No, but it's like, no, what I'd say is, it's like any job you start, it feels, you know, when you're first down a job, you know, even when I worked at Sainsbury's, my head felt like it was going to burst. But then over time, you just get used to it. And before you know it, you're doing it subconsciously.
There you go, Michael. That's a selfie.
No, but we've heard about the different levels of competence. You know, have we spoken about this before?
No.
Well, basically, there's four stages of competence where it's basically you have unconscious incompetence, where you're rubbish at something and you're oblivious about it. Then you have conscious incompetence, which I think was what Michael was going through, where he was aware that he didn't know what to do. But then with any new skill or new challenge...
I'd say that is the basis of this whole podcast, is conscious incompetence, isn't it?
Pretty much. But then you get to a point where you are consciously competent, which is a lot easier, but still is tiring because you know what you need to do, but it's just hard to remember to do it. And then you have unconscious competence where you can just do it without thinking. It's like driving's a good example of that. Your first driving lesson, you're like, well, this is fun. And then you realise, oh, actually, I don't know what I'm doing here. And then you move up the levels. And then when you pass your test, you're still gripping the wheel going, I know how to drive, but I have to concentrate all the time. But then after a while, you're driving without even thinking.
It won't surprise you, Rob, that I'm only level three of that.
Okay, fair enough.
the wheel remains gripped.
I remember when I looked after my brother's kids when I was with me and my ex-girlfriend, and the kids were probably about 8 and 6, and I took them to Harrods to have a look around Harrods, and I turned round and one of them was missing.
Oh my gosh.
Just wasn't there. And that panic and fear, and she was literally just probably like 2 metres away, but round a corner looking at something else. Yeah. And then I rushed around and found her. But that the adrenaline that floods your body, it's mental. Well, Michael, I'm glad you feel better. I can't wait to play this back to you when you tell us that you're expecting a baby.
Yeah, we'll get 4 episodes out of that. We'll have to be pausing it and talking about each bit.
Josh, you did tease some stuff you wanted to talk about this week.
Well,
so
I've got some stuff, but it wasn't that exciting, was it? Do you want Top Knot Debate to start?
So the options are Top Knot Debate,
Worrying Success of Pat Lunch, Surprise End to Play Date,
and Humiliation or something,
or Two Rice's Humiliation.
I'd quite like Two Rice Humiliation first, please.
Okay, that's the only one not about parenting, but we'll go with it.
We've had quite a lot of parenting in the first half hour.
Yeah, exactly.
20 minutes, depending on how much of his own voice Michael can stomach to hear.
So I went to my friend's 40th.
Yeah.
And there was a... I wasn't drinking, so I was excited that there was also Thai food in the pub, so I didn't have my dinner, because I was like, this is exciting, I can have...
Okay.
Got there. The pub menu, right?
Yeah.
I ordered before I went into the room. I ordered, so it was green curry. And I said, and I'll have a side of rice, side of sticky rice, and some spring rolls.
Right.
Get to the table. No one else is eating. They're just having drinks. Someone's ordered some spring rolls already.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first thing that happens is the person's ordered the spring rolls. They don't want all of them. They say, I'll swap you one of my spring rolls now for one of yours when it comes, right? The classic situation. Okay. As I'm eating one of the 4 spring rolls on the table, my spring rolls arrive, and the waiter's like, oh, someone likes spring rolls.
Okay, yeah.
Right, fine. I can deal with that. Yeah. I'm a little humiliated by the fact I've got 8. I look like a man who's ordered 8 spring rolls, but fine.
And you're doing some sort of weird trade-off backhander with the table.
Yeah. And then my meal turns up. Yeah. The green curry comes with rice.
Of course it does. All curries come with rice.
No, they don't, Rob.
They do in pubs.
And then they've given me a side of rice. Side of sticky rice.
He loves carbs, this boy.
And I'm like, surely. And he was like, oh, well, did you not know it came with rice? I'm like, of course I fucking didn't. I haven't ordered a side of rice with my curry and rice. Why is that an option? Why haven't you flagged that at the bar?
In their defence, in a pub, I'm expecting rice with a curry.
Well, I said, I bet this happens all the time. He says, it's never happened before.
I'm on his side.
Do you want to know what he then said? I thought, well, he'll probably say, oh, it's a classic misunderstanding.
I would have said, I would have gone, it's all right, I'll just have rice pudding for dessert.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
bit of
that's
fun.
Good. Yeah. I wish I'd had that quick thinking.
What did you say? Sorry.
I thought he was going to say, fine, honest mistake, we'll take it off your bill. He said, do you want me to get you a doggy bag for your second rice?
We can't take it off the bill. You've ordered it.
No, all right, fine, but I don't want a fucking doggy bag for some sticky rice. When am I going to eat that?
True. No one wants to take rice home.
No one wants to take rice home, Rob.
Okay, so that was your rice humiliation.
That was humiliating.
Right. Okay, now, top knot.
Big debate in our house.
Top knot debate, right? Okay, what's the debate?
My son, who's 18 months, 19 yeah. months probably by now, his hair's in his eyes.
Okay.
And Rose has started giving him a top knot.
Hmm.
In my views, exactly, Rob.
I just think maybe give him a cut his hair.
That's... Do you know what, Rob? You're preaching to the choir.
Or a little clip to the side.
Well, yeah, that's what they do at nursery. They
what's
do
what's the plan? I think, what's the
she'll
plan
She'll say stuff
your...
like, but he looks really cute. And you can't say, no, he looks like a fucking prick. Because he's your own son.
Now, what kind of top knot? Is it like proper like Bam Bam Baby, straight up yeah. vertical? Or is it at the back like a Leeds footballer?
It's, I'll surely have a photo of this on my phone.
Oh, no, that is a bit back at the back like he's some
it's
sort of
It's a bit Andy
boy.
Carroll, isn't it?
God, he looks like you, Josh.
He's one of those babies that looks like me 1 minute and Rose the next. You know,
well,
the
in that minute, he looks like you
exactly
chewing on toast.
He looks like me with a top knot.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem here, isn't
Rose
it?
Rose has just heard me. She just shouted the top knot's great.
I'm not against boys having long hair. I think that's fine. Obviously, you know, I'm a modern man. Yeah. But I think a clip to the side more than the top knot, maybe.
I just can't, because it's so East London, it's
Stop.
Painful.
Yeah. Stop whispering. Just because she can hear, don't panic, you're allowed your views. No one's wrong, no one's right. It's Everyone's got an opinion. Yeah. So what's the plan going forward with this?
Well, it's a stalemate.
Right. Well, it's not
I'm
a stalemate. It's not a stalemate. He's got one. It's a very weird description of a stalemate. A stalemate. That is very telling, isn't it?
No, I actually agree.
Rose wants a top knot. You
no,
don't.
He didn't
What's the
one.
Situation? He's got a top knot. You're calling that a stalemate.
No, he's not
stalemate
got a top
would be hair in the eyes.
He's gone out with hair in the eyes this morning.
Right. Okay.
So he's gone to nursery, which admittedly I took him, without a top knot.
But then he can't see where he's going.
Fuck it.
Fuck it. I'd rather him trip over than have a top knot.
Yeah.
But that is very East London, isn't it? A top knot on a child, a little boy child.
Don't know what to do about it.
Well, I mean, the top knot is just a sort of entry level drug to the full ponytail.
Yeah.
Rose is very keen. It's a stalemate, though. So let me know how it plans out.
Yeah. It's going to pan out.
Yeah,
do you want a surprise ending to play date?
Yes, please.
Went on a very successful play date.
Yeah.
My daughter and her, a new friend from school.
Okay, so...
Very nice.
And who was there, parents-wise?
All four.
All four? Okay, that's very new child at school keen, that is.
Very new child at school
By
keen.
The second one, you just one parent's going.
Just one parent, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'll drop off, even though I've never met you before.
And how was that? So you all got on, did you?
It was lovely, yeah, very nice. And then, do you want to know how the play date ended?
Go on.
My son, who was there, who's 18 months.
Yeah. What did he start talking about Bitcoin?
No.
Putting his hair up in a...
he's talking about a new app. But, no, he brought Rose out of nowhere. First, he brought me my shoes. Then he brought Rose her shoes. Then he brought her a coat. And then he brought her bag. He can't even speak properly yet.
He ended the play date. I don't think that's a successful play date.
Well, it is. It is until that moment.
Yeah, but that's not. You could go, well, that's a successful date until she slapped me and spat in my food.
No, but he wasn't on the play date. He was just a plus one, wasn't he? It was the daughters.
Right. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so it was the daughters and he was just there. But it all went well apart from that. Well, yeah, exactly. Because going forward, he won't have to go to the when he's older.
No, but it was quite surprising because he's. It showed a level of knowledge of what we needed to leave that I didn't know he possessed.
Oh, so yeah, that he went and got all the stuff.
He went and got all of the stuff
that
we needed to leave. He can't even fucking speak properly, Rob. Yeah, he was aware that we'd need our shoes,
Did
our
you
coat,
want to go at that
bag.
Point? Was you thinking of wrapping it up?
No, I was fine.
Right.
I was fine, if they're listening.
Okay, if they're not?
I was fine.
All right, okay.
Yeah, because my daughter was having a great time. It is, having an 18-month-old on a play date is a fucking write-off, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it would be rude of you to take him, personally. Their faces must have dropped. Oh, for fuck's sake, they brought one, that little one. Fucking hell. Okay, that's all of us. That's all of us chatting and hovering. That's none of us sat down having a cup of tea while the old ones play. That's us, all of us, wandering around following this nutter.
What a fucking top knot.
easy to pick him up, though. And what was your last one? Packed lunch success?
Yeah, worrying.
Why?
So, half term.
Yes.
She went in for a couple of, like, activity days at the school. Yeah. One of them was going to the on a theatre trip. So, they had to have packed lunch.
Nice. What did she go and see at the theatre?
Oh, I don't know. Some play. Hamlet?
Mental load, mate. You're not taking on board the full mental load.
Is it the play that goes wrong? I can't remember what it was. Anyway, The Mousetrap. Anyway,
Back to the Future.
We can keep naming them.
Yeah. Lame is.
So a Paw Patrol lunchbox didn't arrive.
Okay.
In time. Basically, what I ended up having to do was I printed out a load of Paw Patrol pictures and stuck them to some, what's that, you know, plastic box it's called? Begins with P. What would you call, well, you know, an unbranded lunchbox?
A plastic, a Tupperware box.
Tupperware box. Begins with T. Sorry.
Okay. Josh, can I tell you something here? I love you, but I'm lost on this story now.
Yeah, no. I didn't need the extra detail.
No. So let's go back to basics. She's gone on a theatre trip, and the lunchbox didn't arrive.
Anyway, that doesn't matter. I made her a packed lunch.
Yeah.
Right. And it was absolutely, she nailed it. We roasted the sandwich. I did the other bit. Blah blah blah. We made it.
What's in it? Can she you talk me through what's in it?
Yeah. Cucumber sandwich, her favourite. The only one she'll eat.
Yeah. Buttered or dry?
Buttered. Pombears.
Classic.
Classic. The kids' crisp. No idea why. Yogurt.
Yeah.
Apple.
Sure.
Apple juice.
Nice.
Something else. Can't remember.
Anyway, and she loved it.
Loved it. And now I'm really worried because she's not a huge fan of the school dinners.
Right, okay, so it's, at the moment, she's just eating what the school provide, but because she loved this packed lunch. Do they have an option to do packed lunch?
Yes, but I don't want to activate the option, Rob. I'm fucking dreading the thought of her asking for full-time packed lunch me having to make a packed lunch every morning of every day. No.
No, not for you.
No, it's
but
not
I think
for
it's going to get activated, isn't it?
What do I do? If she asks again, do I give her a bad packed lunch?
Well, basically, I think you're going to be at a stalemate, which will involve you doing a packed lunch every day until she's 17.
After I've done the old stalemate.
You've got to wash and condition your son's shoulder-length hair before school every morning and then make a packed lunch as the compromise.
Oh, God, my life, I'm so weak.
You're such the beater in your house. So am I, to be honest. I don't know why I'm trying to give it this absolute old school, where's the trousers alpha. Literally, whatever Lou says, eventually I will go with.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, there we go.
Right, let's do some correspondence, Josh. We've had a couple. Barack Obama story here. But
hurry up with your correspondence, Rob, because I've got a date with sitting in a cafe for 2 hours on my own. So,
okay,
you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that to get shorter for you. Did we ask for Barack Obama stories?
Yeah, because we were talking about Barack Obama, weren't we?
Barack Obama. Oh, yes, Barack Obama. This is the Barack Obama, Barack Obama story.
Okay,
so
great.
It's a slight boomer story.
Imagine having a story about Barack Obama.
Here we go.
Well, you've got one.
Well, I've got one, yeah. Imagine it. I just feel so much better than everyone. I don't really. I sort of forgot I had that until someone brought up Barack Obama. Anyway, my nephew met Barack when he was in Watford playing at the Grove.
What?
My brother-in-law thought it would be a good idea to walk through the woods and pop up in the golf course to try and catch a glimpse.
Oh, right, playing at the Grove, golf.
Playing golf,
so he was over here for, like, the G8 or something.
Yeah, and he was playing golf.
Yeah.
And anyway, my nephew, who was about 8, ended up being surrounded by Secret Service personnel that were in the woods keeping guard. Ollie said he just wanted to say hello. Barack said to him he wasn't allowed to get out of the golf cart for security reasons. What a load of bollocks that is. How's he hitting a drive? He's still in the cart, putting. Right, yeah, line it up. Just slowly accelerate. I'll put the putter out. However, he did get one of the security people to give him one of his golf balls.
Oh, that's nice.
Needless to say, that was his show and tell the next day. It's a good one, isn't
Whoa,
it?
Whoa, that's a good one.
That's
good.
It's very good. Oh, right. So this is a weird... Look, we've had a lot of people. We were talking about Pass the Parcel at your daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
And we said we've had a lot of people messaging to say under no circumstances is the birthday boy slash girl allowed to win the prize in Pass the Parcel.
What?
Terrible party etiquette.
Now,
I think that's wrong. The way I look at it is if the birthday boy or girl always wins, then they win once a year, essentially. Because what's the other option? Pure luck?
Yeah. Skill? Like people holding on to the parcel for longer? You don't want that.
No, because the problem is, if you look away and you do it properly and you don't cheat it, then there is always one prick kid in the circle that's trying to dominate and work out when you're doing it. So I just think it's easier if you just let everyone make sure there's enough layers of sweets so everyone gets an unwrap, and then the main prize goes to the birthday boy or girl. That's the way I do it. But if people... I don't know why that's wrong.
Do you pass the parcel?
We have done, but not for ages. Yeah. But when we have done that, it's a bit of a younger kid game, really. I think when they get a bit older, it gets a bit scrappy, doesn't it?
Yeah, the birthday party I went to yesterday, Rob.
Yeah.
Because they never
Where was
end.
It, in the park?
No. It was an incredible venue.
Oh. Yeah,
but it was in a sports hall. So they had one half of a sports hall.
Yeah.
And they had the sports hall had a bouncy castle.
Perfect.
I'm gonna send you a video of this bouncy castle.
That is unbelievable.
Look at the size of that bouncy castle.
It's like three levels, isn't it? Three sections.
So I think the sports hall own the bouncy castle. But anyway...
That's amazing.
I came in the wrong entrance, Rob.
Pardon?
Do you know what? There's a reason that we've gone exclusive. But it's
just
all
we're a bit
good
naughty.
Stuff.
A little bit rude.
Lockdown parenting after dark.
You came in the wrong entrance, did you?
Yeah, I did came in the wrong entrance, right? And by that, I mean we ended up on the wrong side of a game of volleyball and had to cross a volleyball
court.
Right,
I thought you was implying you ejaculated into an anus.
No, Rob, I didn't.
Sorry,
no, just,
sorry,
no,
Josh.
No. Yeah.
So you went into a volleyball game by accident?
Well, they had to stop the volleyball game so that we could get to the child's party.
Oh, no, that would be annoying, having a kid's party going on when you're trying to play volleyball properly.
Yeah, but it was one hell of a bouncy castle.
It is. That was very impressive, actually. I've seen a lot in my time, and that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well done.
But in conclusion, I do think that the parent of the child whose birthday it is has all rights to give that child the victory.
I think the parent of the child should be in charge of the music. All the guests get to unwrap it once, so make sure you've got enough layers with a sweet or something in that wrapping, maybe a packet of whatever. And then the main prize goes to the party. Because otherwise, it's not fair, is it?
No.
Because then if you always do that, then the party boy... or girl always wins, and then everyone gets it once a year.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Okay, that's what I think anyway. Right, should we do a small business shout-out?
Yes.
Here we go. Hi, Rob and Josh. My husband started his business, Pit Pat, from his living room 8 years ago. Born from a love of dogs and his love for electronic engineering, Pit Pat is a dog activity monitor. It is essentially a Fitbit for dogs, and today he launched a dog GPS tracker so you can find your dog if he or she runs off. It's UK made with a brilliant team in Cambridge. It's waterproof and has the longest battery life of any wearable. I don't know what that means, but they look... There's an exclamation mark, so it must be good. Pit Pat's mission is to keep dogs happy, healthy and safe. We'd love to give your listeners a 20% discount across all products. Here we go. This is what we're here for, guys. 2.5 years in, you guys are getting some discount. Here we go. So, Parenting Hell 20, all in capitals, and it's 20 for the 20. Parenting Hell 20 is a great product for yourself or a Christmas present for dog lovers. Find us at pitpat.com. So that's a 20% off if you put Parenting Hell 20 in. We're not getting any kickback from this, by the way.
No.
They're just doing that for
not?
You. No, we're not. That's not how we work in small business.
No,
so we're not doing that to get, like, a lot of influencers do that and then they get a kickback.
Yeah.
We're not doing that.
Yeah. We're not doing that.
Thank you for continuing to share all your stories. Best wishes, Christina, Andrew, Sky, new baby, and Winnie, our Westie. I think Lou would want that for Fred to see how fast he's running and how far he's running, because he absolutely belts it. Pit Pat.
Very good. Now, you said we're not getting kickback on that. I should fully declare on this. This person did stop me on a towpath to ask whether they could have a small business shout-out.
Yeah, that's good. That's fair. We should announce
that's fair. I should be clear on that. And I think if you're willing to stop me on a towpath, fair enough. I'll read you the first email, which says, my charity is the UK's biggest specialist speech and language charity for children. We know lots of parents want help with their kids to learn to talk, but aren't sure where to start. And from reading Rob Beckett's book, it seems he too understands how important this is. 1.7 million kids are behind in talking and understanding words post-COVID. Speech and Language UK is a charity that gives free advice and guidance to families wanting to help their children, as well as providing tools and training to schools and putting pressure on politicians to do more for these children. If you're worried about your child or you want to help others, head to speechandlanguage.org.uk. Speechandlanguage.org.uk. Charity has a free inquiry service so you can get advice from qualified speech and language therapists about what you can do to help your child. Children who have speech and language challenges are at higher risk of falling behind at school, getting mental health problems, and getting into trouble with the law. So get help today or donate to help others. Speechandlanguage.org.uk.
Very good, very good cause. Get yourself, so basically,
get yourself on a towpath in East London.
Help a child to read or find out how fast your dog is. Up to you.
Up to you.
I'd say do both. Not just one.
Yeah. And if you want that email in, or just approach me near a canal.
Yeah, near a canal.
I'll be there for the next 2 hours after this, Rob, killing time.
Just waiting. Waiting. I'll speak to you on Friday, Josh.
Look forward to it. It's going to be a good one.
Bye.
If you are not in the queue and you are waiting, then step to the side.
He got in touch. He said, yeah, sorry, mate, you didn't seem like yourself the other day. You've only met me 3 times.
The self-service checkout. I don't care what you're called. I'm not getting tricked into working here.
People at festivals in those stupid jester hats.
I glanced at a tampon.
£2.69 for a bottle of water.
Why is your Wi-Fi code?
Social media.
Ten characters
long. The boss starts guiding you.
I don't care if you're watching.
Boot cut jeans.
What's upset you now?
I'm Sean Walsh.
And I'm Paul McCaffrey. We are the hosts of What's Upset You Now?
The UK's angriest podcast.
And we are back for Series 5.
Booyah!
We all love a good moan, don't we? And Sean and I, well, Sean mostly, are two of the best in the absolute business. And every Tuesday and Thursday, we moan about all those little things that really get our goat. We also have guests. What guests have we had, Sean?
We have had Romesh Ranganathan, Rob Beckett, Mark Lamar, Joe Brand, Catherine Ryan, Tom Allen.
15-minute episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Brand new What's Upset You Now? Series 5, out now.
Oh, for God's sake.
Josh, you fancy going for a beer, maybe like the 14th of April?
Can't do the 14th of April, Rob.
How comes?
We're doing the Parenting Hell Arena tour at Manchester Arena.
Oh, OK.
How about the 19th of April?
Oh, no, I can't do that. I'll be doing the Parenting Hell Live tour in Nottingham. What about the 20th of April?
Cardiff Arena. Parenting Hell Live, Cardiff Arena.
21st of April? No, I can't do that either. London O2. 23rd of April?
I can do the 22nd. We've got a day off. 23rd, okay. yes, Wembley.
What about the 28th of April?
I'm in Birmingham. Do you know what, Rob?
Parenting Hell Live tour.
Yeah, but we'll just have a drink afterwards.
Yeah, should we do that?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
We need to plug the live tour, by the way.
Oh, yeah. There's a live tour of Parenting Hell, and I cannot wait. It's genuinely going to be an absolute thrill to do. And do you know what it would make? The perfect Christmas present. Two of those tickets. Ooh.
Oh, great Christmas present. Or Father's Day present.